First Quarter Trading Update 2019 Analyst Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. Mark Heine, Fugro CEO, and Paul Verhagen, CFO, will start today's call with a short presentation, after which there will be time for questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mark Heine. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for participating in this call. As said, we first have a short presentation, and afterwards we're happy to take your questions. I would like to start with the first slide and move forward with the highlights of the first quarter. This quarter, we realized a revenue growth of 9.3%, mainly in offshore wind and oil and gas markets. We're also benefiting from higher revenue in new growth markets, whilst the land business, the asset integrity services, are picking up. Despite continued growth of revenues, EBIT in the quarter was below last year. Improved results in marine site characterization were offset by lower results in marine asset integrity and by seabed geosolutions, which still suffered from previously reported challenges on two projects. Nevertheless, we're positive about the remainder of this year. Our site characterization activities in offshore wind and in oil and gas will continue to grow, and moreover, prices are improving. In line with our path to profitable growth strategy, we are increasingly focusing on activities with better margins, improving the quality of the backlog. For our marine asset integrity activities, we will benefit from restructuring in selected areas, while the market conditions are gradually improving. Seabed Geosolution should benefit from improved market conditions and more favorable contracts in the second half of the year. We are committed to achieve a year-on-year margin improvement for all our activities for the full year of 2019. As a result of the full year outlook, the outlook is unchanged. We will get back to our outlook in one of our last slides. Next slide, please. We called last year a turning point in our results. With our market-leading positions, we have benefited from a gradual recovery of the oil and gas market and the ongoing expansion of offshore wind. These were key drivers behind the sharp growth and improving prices in early cyclical marine site characterization activities. This resulted in a strong increase in revenue. This quarter, the picture is similar. The 9.3% growth was driven by our marine and geoscience divisions and realized mainly in offshore wind and oil and gas markets. Next slide, please. In our marine division, revenue increased by 10%, driven by Fugro's leading position in oil and gas and offshore wind, particularly in Europe and the Americas. Revenues in new growth markets such as hydrography and coastal protection also showed a significant increase. Vessel utilization was 66%, which was in line with the same period last year. This is a bit lower than you might expect. This is partly caused by delayed maintenance after a busy fourth quarter of 2018. In order to execute the work, several short-term charters were used instead. The EBIT margin improved to mid-single-digit negative. In most regions, results improved. The site characterization EBIT margin improved compared to last year, while the late cyclical asset integrity EBIT margin declined compared to the same period last year. In March, Fugro handed back the long-term charter Southern Star in relation to serious technical failures and grave design flaws. This is now subject to arbitration. Next slide, please. The land division's revenue decreased by 2%. Site characterization revenue decreased by 4%. Overall, the infrastructure markets are growing. In, for example, North America, growth was significant. This was, however, offset by weak markets in some of our key markets, for instance, in Hong Kong. The completion of a large nearshore project also in the UK at the end of the first quarter of 2018, and the finalization of the restructuring in Africa. Encouraging was the 9% increase at asset integrity, driven by increased activities in North America. EBIT margin was low single-digit negative and slightly below last year. Site characterization margin was slightly positive, but below last year because of lower revenue. At asset integrity, the margin improved, but was still negative. Next slide, please. Seabed had 3 crews active and 1 under mobilization, compared to a relatively quiet first quarter last year. The EBIT margin was negative compared to a slightly positive margin last year. As previously disclosed, results were impacted by the execution issues on the projects in the Gulf of Mexico, which was finalized in April, and in the Middle East, for which completion is expected in the second quarter, and by the competitively priced first Montanode project in Brazil, and the completion there is expected in the third quarter. After completion of these contracts, Seabed Geosolutions expects to benefit from improved market conditions and more favorable contracts. Next slide, please. Financial position. This quarter, cash flow from operating activities after investments was negative. This was a result of low results in the seasonally weak first quarter and higher level of CapEx. This higher level of CapEx was caused by some delayed vessel maintenance after a very busy fourth quarter last year and increased investments in the Montanodes. Working capital was 11.4% of 12 months revenue, a minor improvement compared to end of last year and clearly below the 13.3% of a year ago. Days of revenue outstanding was 92 versus a relatively low level, 86 at the end of last year and 93 per March 2018. The net debt over EBITDA ratio increased to 2.8 from 2.2 at the end of 2018. This is within the covenant requirement of not exceeding 3.0. It's expected to improve in the course of this year to a level at year end below that of December 2018, which was 2.2. Next slide, please. The backlog for the next 12 months increased, although clearly not as strong as during the previous quarters. It's also important to add that the quality of the backlog has improved. At the Marine Division, it continued to grow strongly in site characterization, mostly driven by offshore wind farm projects, as the integrity declined. On the other hand, due to increased focus on margin, the expiration of the diving contract in Brazil, and the cancellation of projects planned to be executed by the Southern Star vessel. At the Land Division, site characterization decreased slightly, mostly due to a weak infrastructure market in Hong Kong and less activity in Africa as a result of restructuring, as the integrity backlog was up, mainly in the Americas. Next slide, please. The outlook. Our full-year outlook is unchanged. We expect continued revenue growth, further improvement of our EBIT margin, and positive cash flow from operating activities after investments. CapEx is expected, as mentioned before, to be around 90 million. The cash flow guidance is meant to be on a pre-IFRS 16 basis. As you know, per 1st of January, we apply a new accounting standard, IFRS 16, which prescribes that leases have to be accounted for on the balance sheet. The implementation of the IFRS 16 is expected to have an upward impact of 35 to 40 million euro on EBITDA, 5 to 8 million on EBIT, and 30 to 35 million on cash flow from operating activities after investments, and 175 million euro on lease liabilities. Next slide, please. Finally, before we go to the questions, just a small word on the new top management structure that we presented 2 months ago. As of next week, we will have a simpler structure with 4 regions directly reporting to the Board of Management. The aim of this is to accelerate the strategy implementation and to further increase efficiencies. As per our half-year results, we will report in this new structure. Well in advance, in the course of June, we will publish restated historical numbers. And with that, I want to conclude this short presentation. I want to hand back over to the operator and allow for some questions hereafter.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Martin Den Driver of NIBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen and Katrine. With regards to the Southern Star, you've already stated that there's an impact on the backlog, but you also had to cancel projects. So what has that done to your relationships with your clients? Are there any claims? What does the arbitration actually mean? So can you elaborate a little bit on that position?
Good morning, Martijn. Thank you for the question. There's very limited information that I can provide on this, as this is part of the arbitration case right now. So we have to be extremely limited in the information that we provide. We have managed the relationship with our clients. I think that is all under control and being managed. The impact is primarily in the short term, where we had to sign for something that that we had on our books and in the backlog. Therefore, it also affected our backlog. We had to withdraw some proposals with this asset in there. In that sense, we need to look at alternatives there, but that is all under control. So that's the only thing that I can release around the Southern Star, so to say, that is all because it's now in arbitration.
Okay, but just to follow up on that, this vessel has been in operations with Fugro since 2017, if the information is correct. So why, after 2 years, this design flaw and technical issue elements, why hasn't that been detected earlier?
Okay, I think there are very good reasons for that, and I'm not going to elaborate on that because it's part of an arbitration case, and that is all sensitive information right now. But okay. you can take from me that that there have been good reasons for that, that this is not basically possible to necessarily conclude in an earlier phase.
Okay, moving on then. Marine asset integrity. A decline in margins. What's the cause of the decline in margins? I would have expected, due to pricing discipline, tendering discipline, that it would actually go up. Is this just a matter of working your way through the low margin backlog of the past?
Yeah, it's a combination of factors. We have stated a number of things in the press release. First and foremost, it is still a very difficult market. It's late cyclical, and therefore this market is not in the same situation as the marine site characterization that is clearly coming back. So it's absolutely still affected by a lot of price pressure and difficult contracts, so to say, an oversupply in the market. Having said that, we clearly stated that we expect over the full year of 2019 a improvement also in the asset integrity business, and we confirm that earlier statement. We will stick to that. Now there are specific things that we have communicated on. The Southern Star has affected in the short term this result. Also, we see that last year we had a good project on the diving site in the Americas, which is not there right now anymore. So you see an effect there. So it all has to do with various elements there, but also, as communicated, the delayed and deferred maintenance that we had planned on a number of assets in the fourth quarter, which moved into the first quarter. So all these things contribute to a lower result in asset integrity, a market that is still very much under pressure.
Okay, that's it from my side for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Martijn.
We will now take our next question from Luke Van Beek of Peter Kam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. First of all, a question on your net debt EBITDA, which moved up in Q1. How comfortable are you that the operational improvement in Q2 will be sufficient to maintain sufficient headroom to the governance on this level, on this ratio?
Thanks for the question, Luke. Indeed, net debt EBITDA went up from 2.2 a year end to 2.8. As you for sure will have heard and seen, is that we've also guided that in the course of this year and towards year end, we expect it to improve compared to the level end of 18, so compared to level of 2.2, which means a significant improvement compared to Q1. Now, as Mark has already outlined, we have guided specifically for the year. We have not guided for Q2, and of course, as part of the year guidance, we believe that over the course of the year, net debt EBITDA will improve towards levels even better than at the end of last year. And if we would not be comfortable, of course, we would not guide like this. So that's what I can say at this moment.
Okay, and the working capital improved quite nicely year on year in Q1. That's partly DSL, but probably also partly payables. Do you consider that sustainable for the coming quarter?
You know, we are typically around 90 days. In a good quarter, we are slightly better. In a not so good quarter, we are slightly higher than 90 days. We've been at that level for the last, I don't know, quite a few quarters, 8 quarters, maybe 9 quarters. So that should be doable.
Okay, and then a question on land, where you mentioned the restructuring in Africa. Is that now completed, and should we expect a positive effect on profitability going forward in land from this?
Yes, Luke, we have completed the restructuring. There's always small things that will take a little bit longer, but the majority is behind us. And we will see a positive contribution from that restructuring.
Okay, those were my questions for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Thijs Berkelder of ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Very good. Thank you. Coming back on the covenants, can you confirm that normally your net debt peaks at the end of the second quarter, not end of the first quarter? Can you confirm that your covenants are measured every quarter at quarter end? As such, yeah, to me it seems logical that you will hit the 3x at mid-year. So what is the plan to not hit the 3x mid-year? Then can you confirm that the covenants say that your EBITDA on a 12-month rolling basis, that your EBITDA needs to be 110, where it was 112 at year end and now probably lower than the 112. So again, can you indicate how you will not hit the covenants by mid-year?
That's a lot of questions, Thijs. Thank you. So first, what I can confirm is that we will meet our covenants every quarter, like we've always done. Secondly, peak of net debt, Q2 or Q3, it can be both. Sometimes it's Q2, sometimes it's Q3. It depends a little bit on the revenue development. You know, both Q2 Q3 are typically high revenue quarters, and depending on projects, timing, etc., there can be some difference. So it could be either quarter. Yes, there is indeed quarterly measurement. That's correct. And the EBITDA floor that you refer to will indeed go up in the second quarter. I'm not sure if it's 110 or 115. I would have to come back to you, but it will go up indeed. That's correct.
And your EBITDA at the end of Q1 drops from the year-end level? Yes or no?
Yes, so we guided that, not we guided, we communicated that our Q1 profitability EBIT was below last year. So you can read from that EBITDA as well. So 4 quarters rolling, of course, will then come down as well, in combination with a higher net debt, gives you the 2.8 that we talked about.
clear. Then in addition, at the Capital Markets Day, you labeled three potential divestments to partly maybe solve your leverage position. Can you give any progress update on the three potential divestments?
Yeah, Thijs, thanks for that question. We cannot give any new news on these three divestments.
Okay, that's pity. Then on the new corporate structure, are there one-off costs related to these moves? Have they already been taken, or should we expect them in the second quarter? And what kind of cost savings can we calculate with related to this corporate change?
Yeah. Okay. The corporate change is ongoing and should be affected by basically next week, 1st of May. And we have stated before, and we will stick to that, half a percent point improvement due to this restructuring and simplification.
And okay, there is some restructuring cost, but not very material, Thijs.
Okay, very good. Those were my questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Thijs.
As a reminder, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. It appears we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, then I would like to thank everybody for participating in this call. I wish everybody a good day and a very nice weekend. Thank you very much.